I've just come back from Malawi, actually, about a week ago. So, in fact, one or two of the pictures I'll show you later, I literally took 2 weeks ago in the church I was preaching in when I was out there. So, I think many of you will know the backstory to the Caruso Trust. Ruth and I started this after I'd been out in Malawi, well, during a placement originally when I was at Bible college training for ministry. And then again a second time when I met the people that I now work with, and they said to me, what we need to do is train our church leaders and reach our youth so that there is a church for the future. And so I'm going to give you a little update on a few of those aspects of the work that those of you who've heard from me before will have some background in, but I'll, as we go along, hopefully for those for whom this is new, you'll also get a feeling for some of the core work that we're doing. This is Malawi. It's a landlocked country, by many reckonings, the third poorest country in the world, and the other two are both heavily war-torn. But Malawi is peaceful, but poor. But the gospel is thriving. It's a very beautiful place, but some key challenges which we're addressing for it here is poverty and illiteracy just bring so many pastoral needs. This is a place I've been to. You can see I was here with this group. No primary school, no health clinic, no clean water. The water supply is 400 meters away. It's a river, which is an outflow from one of Blantyre's townships. Many people with HIV. It's a young population. Scotland has 19% children. Malawi has 50% children. So in the churches, you get, this is just a youth choir that will come up, sing and dance and perform in a typical rural church. And this is replicated all over Malawi. Young people are in the churches, often without Sunday school teaching in an age-appropriate way because people don't know how to do it. But the young people are there. There's a growing challenge from Islam. Traditional religion is in the depth of the culture. This is a new mosque that's just being completed right in the heart of Blantyre City. Massive. Right in one of the key roundabouts in the middle of the city, a prominent position, built like it's something out of the Middle East with Middle Eastern money that's being poured in. But even if you go to the remote rural areas, there are mosques like this springing up everywhere. And the population is growing, 15% Muslim. It's now almost 20% Muslim. It's a folk Islam. There's polygamy involved, so the number of children from Muslim families is high and the population is growing. And with this money coming in, the church just look as though, you know, they're poor, they haven't got much going. They're like sheep to the slaughter in the face of this growth of Islam. I call it the soft front of Islam. North Africa is the hard front. This is the soft front. And in that context, 90% of the church leaders are untrained. And this is one of the key things that we're seeking to address through the Caruso Trust and our partners, J-Life Ministries. Here's a typical rural church. You think, oh, there's plenty of space there. Well, that's because you've got these choirs that parade up and down and dance and whatever in the service. Ladies one side, men the other. I've preached in a number of these. Andy, when he was out in 2016, spoke in churches like this. The one I was in 2 weeks ago, it was completely full and people were overflowing out onto the veranda outside. So we have come up with this vision, training thousands to reach hundreds of thousands for Christ. If you train thousands of church leaders to better preach the gospel, to pastor their people biblically, then you effectively reach hundreds of thousands because they are in the churches. But often the church leaders do not know how to be under shepherds of Christ. We work by partnership with a team. We support 7 or 8 of them now. This is our J-Life team. Some of you will have perhaps met one or two of these along the way. We have one of them, Praise, coming over in a couple of weeks' time with his wife, Rose, and we're going to be going around a number of churches then. More about that a little later. So I'm going to focus for this on three areas. That there's other things we're working on, but three key areas. And I think, having just come back from a visit to Malawi where we were mostly planning for this next year, we're finding the key thing now is integrating different strands of our work. So the church leader training, which is the program Andy shared in when he was out in 2016, it's the heart of what we're doing, training thousands of church leaders with a basic toolkit for ministry. But now reaching the youth in the churches, often neglected by the churches indeed, and in some cases leaving. Not as much as in many ways in this country has happened, but it's beginning to happen there with the church leaders not knowing what to do with youth. So training the youth to bring up the next generation of leaders. And now, thirdly, reaching out into the community leaders, not just church leaders, but community leaders, the village chiefs. A door has opened, and we're piloting that work this year, and we were planning that. So those are the three areas, and they really interact with each other closely. So far we've trained now over 2,000 church leaders. It's difficult to count because some come and go from the training programs as they move around the country as well. But we've got out to most of the districts across the southern part of Malawi now. And the requests that are coming in are more and more than we can satisfy. This is my dear friend Connex teaching at a training I was part of last October in an area near Zomba, a Muslim area. So the church leaders there really need strengthening because there are about 70% Muslim, 30% Christian mixed area. And this was one of the participants. His name is Saladin, which is a bit of a giveaway if you know anything about your crusade history. Yes, he's a former Muslim. He was converted when he had an experience of Christ when he was about 16. You hear these stories so often of Christ breaking into the lives of Muslims. And now he's a school teacher, but he goes out knocking door to door on Muslim households, telling them about Christ. For 4 years, he was cut off completely by his family. He had death threats and he had to hide for a while, but the Lord has seen him through that. Now he's just tolerated as a bit of a nuisance by them, but he just carries on knocking door to door, telling people about Christ. And people are coming to faith through him. But we know that with a task of this size, 90% church leaders untrained, we have to train some of those we train to become trainers of others, following the biblical pattern of 2 Timothy 2:2. So in 2017, we ran our first program called Entrust with selected people who'd done our Learn to Serve training, four lots of 1 week, and trained them to become trainers of others. Well, in 2019, last year, when I was out there, we held a refresher, a reunion, we brought them all together. We had a speaker over from the UK as well at that time, Sam Gordon. And we're doing this again each year. Those that we train as trainers, we have a special time with to encourage them, to bring them on. And many of them are now training other pastors in the areas where they're living with some of the material that we're developing. And we're mentoring them on. And some of them are even going to be brought into the Learn to Serve training team. So multiplication is really beginning to take off now. And that's good because we are looking this year to turn our one training team into two teams, because it's the only way we can meet the demand that's coming in from the pastors' fraternals across all the denominations. We've trained 70 people from 70 or 80 denominations now to meet the requests for our training, which is free at the point of delivery. This is one of the people that we trained in Entrust. His name's Mike. He actually came to Christ in prison because he was a bank robber, an armed robber of some sort. And after a year in prison, Christ broke into his life. He spent 2 years simply learning from the Bible while he finished his sentence. And then he's become a pastor since then, and now he's a bishop of a Pentecostal denomination. And absolutely on fire, a very bright man who's found his calling. And he is going to be one of those joining our training teams. So that's the Learn to Serve program, training the church leaders so that they can train those in their churches. Just a basic toolkit for ministry, 4 lots of 1 week covering the basics of theology, servant models of leadership, and practical Bible-based ministry. But what about the youth? We said 50% of Malawi's population are children. And of course, there's many teenagers and youth that goes into the 20s, single people. Well, this is the Bible clubs, which the children are learning about through Ruth and Claire. And the two of them were quite instrumental in working with our partners to have this program begin. There's now 14 clubs in different villages. 36 young people are leading them across all this area that stretches out 30-kilometer circle from our center. And about 1,000 or 1,500 children a week are coming into these clubs every week for 8 months of the year in the dry season. So that's what one of the bigger clubs look like. Children need to hear about Jesus. We're always only one generation away from extinction in the church if we do not teach our children about Christ. So we have 31 volunteer leaders, and because they're a bit thin in some of the more remote areas, we have recruited another five or six this year. So we're going to have 36 leaders. In some cases still, some leaders are running 2 clubs a week, every week, in these remote areas with 100 children and 2 leaders. I mean, it's the need for more leaders is enormous. And the people are there, but we have to fund their training in safeguarding, training in how to run clubs, training in how to counsel children, because many of these children come from very difficult lives. So we're now integrating the youth work in with the children's Bible clubs so that the youth work now seeks to build up a new generation of leaders, starting with the youth reaching the children, and then those youth will later, in 10 years' time, become pastors who are more trained than the current ones. This is the original vision of the work, was to reach a new generation. But what we found was without training the pastors, you could train the young people as much as you like, and the pastors didn't value them, felt threatened by them, didn't engage with them and help them on. You were fighting a lost cause. So what we've integrated together as of this year is where we have trained the church leaders, we then go on to reach the youth in those areas and to sensitize the church leaders to mentor their youth, so that we then have the whole church building together area by area as we get out into that. So the first thing that's needed is actually to evangelize the lost youth. Many church leaders don't see reaching youth as part of their job for some reason. So we hold outdoor meetings, and you find that dozens, sometimes even 100 young people will come to Christ when the gospel is taught to them. But you then have the beginning of the work, a discipleship program needed. If it's not outdoors, it'll be indoors in a church building. This was one I attended where there were about 40-something youth, teenagers to early 20s, who all came along, and they were being reached with the gospel to start on their Christian walk. And many of them there are receiving Christ. But once you've done that, we are not responsible for discipling the next generation of the church. The churches have to be doing this. We are just a parachurch support organization, a partnership of a UK mission charity and a Malawian organization who does the work on the ground. So we need then to encourage the church leaders who've had Learn to Serve training through refresher days, and this was one, to realize they have a responsibility to bring on that next generation, to walk, to live open lives with them, to share their lives with them, to mentor them, to disciple them. So we train the church leaders in this. We open their hearts to it, hold discussion groups where they can talk together and work out how they should be doing this, and realize the importance of engaging with the youth that they do have, including these new converts that have come through these outreach meetings in these remote rural areas. These are just typical church buildings that the meetings are held in. And then, once we've got that going, some of those young people are potential church leaders of the future. Pastors, elders, women's ministry leaders, pastors' wives, church secretaries and treasurers. So we're now developing an equivalent to the Learn to Serve program, 4 times 1 week of training, designed for youth. A bit like Christianity Explored has a youth Christianity Explored. It's the same goal, but it's designed for young people. So this is the start, where we got this going a year or so ago, the first group of 30 young people. And again there, it's getting alongside them, encouraging them in their Christian lives. So that's the youth Learn to Serve, that threefold approach: evangelize, get the pastors discipling them and doing the work, and then provide training to build up the next generation of leaders. So in 20 years' time, I'm not saying 90% of these church leaders have had no training whatsoever and do not know their left hand from their right hand as they seek to lead their churches. But now finally, community leader training. A program we're calling Learn to Serve for Chiefs, and we were having a meeting and we're designing the curriculum for this now. This is going to be quite different. Chiefs often have much lower levels of education than church leaders, than pastors. Very often chiefs didn't go to school. They're very good at deciding on land border disputes and other things like that that might happen in the village. But they do not have very much, in many cases, even primary education. When Ruth was out with me in October 2018, we came across a shocking situation. Ruth was doing some safeguarding training, and we went into a primary school, and that morning, 2 11-year-old and 2 12-year-old girls had reported for antenatal. They were pregnant. And then when we went into the school to do safeguarding, we found that in the top 2 years of primary, nearly 90% of the girls had had some kind of sexual experience, in many cases not by their own choice. It was a consequence of poverty, and very often their parents were even willing to rent them out for an evening for £5 of money to one of the motorcycle taxi men who had a bit more money around. And young girls were getting pregnant. So even our Malawian partners were shocked by this. So we have since been discussing how can we make a cultural change through the gospel into these rural communities where these and other aspects of social injustice are going on. Because the gospel isn't just a matter of salvation for heaven, it's a matter of bringing justice to this world today, here and now. So we engaged with the chiefs. Because we're running Bible clubs, we're running HIV support groups, we've been training school teachers, we've been training the church leaders, doing a food distribution program through J-Life and one of its other partners. The chiefs in this whole area have a lot of confidence, and they are saying, we want you to teach us how to be better chiefs. So that door has now completely opened. 5 years ago, we were saying, don't know how we'll do this. Here's an example. Chiefs come in very different shapes and sizes. Some are tall, some are short, some are young, some are old. Some can smile like mad, and some of them don't know how to smile at all. But it's an inherited position, very often very little education. But the chiefs can set local bylaws about how the culture of their patch is run. So following that incident with all these young girls, Praise, who is coming over in a couple of weeks' time, he has called together and he had a meeting with about 80 chiefs to say, this should not be happening. And they're setting out an action plan as to what ways they can change the rules, the local bylaws, and what punishments they put in for people who behave in this way, who rent their children out, you know, who seek to borrow young girls and so on. And set a cultural change based on biblical principles as we train those chiefs, which will affect that society. Now, it'll be a long road, it'll take a while, but when you've got Christian chiefs, they are open to learn about integrity, accountability, servant leadership, how to be a chief within the national political system, which they have a role in, how to be a chief within their local communities, how to be a chief in relation to the church, training in all these ways, and this is what we're looking at developing this year. So it's an exciting move. This is Praise and his wife Rose, who are coming over. Praise runs a feeding program for 30,000 children every day. You know, you've heard about Mary's Meals. Well, this is a mini Mary's Meals, and he runs that alongside all these other support groups and advocacy, orphan children, child-headed family support, and so on. So it's great to be involved with that. When our volunteers come out, this is a program we get them working with us in, with children, with youth, with adults, and with the elderly, who are often also in a difficult position, accused of witchcraft because they're old. So that sort of advocacy is needed, again, with the chiefs. So there's a big role in developing this work with the community leaders. Chiefs don't normally like to be told what to do, but now they know we're on their side, the door is opening after 5 or 6 years, and it's really great to see. So that's the prayer points that I'd bring out from it. For those with HIV who abused, poverty, sickness, there were floods last year. The bridges are still not back up after the floods last year. No education. We've trained record numbers through Learn to Serve church leader training this year. We now want to turn one team into two so we can just reach more groups of church leaders. Youth outreach, awakening the youth, awakening the church leaders to the need to engage with their youth. Youth Learn to Serve, train that next generation of leaders so the future is bright and biblical. And Learn to Serve for chiefs, the doors have been open. We're now going to develop a pilot program as a little update. Should I leave that up?